Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the words we heard read this morning from your holy book. And now, as we listen to these words which come from my lips, I most humbly pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching, that they remain no longer simply my words, but instead are transformed into your living word to each and every person who hears them, that he or she might be met in exactly his or her place of need. We pray this, Lord, in great anticipation and in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, there is the one ring about which the whole story centers. The one ring is created by, forged by, the Lord Sauron. He is a dark wizard, and his whole objective is to have power over everyone, everything, every creature. So there are nine rings that belong to all the constituencies out in the lands, and there is the one ring that has power over them all. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending upon your point of view, in a battle between Isildren and Sauron, the ring is severed from his hand and he is discorporated. He becomes a spirit only and has no longer physical form, and the ring is lost also by the elvish lord that beats him and goes into the river. There it is found by a guy named Deagle, who has a fight with Smeagol over it. And if you know the story, Smeagol is so compelled by, enamored by, consumed by the necessity to have the ring that it turns him into something else entirely. It turns him into a creature known as Gollum. This desire to possess all power and the ring that encompasses it, effectively destroys him. And when the main character of the Lord of the Rings story, Frodo, is tasked to take it and to destroy it, Frodo too is endangered by the desire to possess the ring, the desire to have it in his possession. I think this desire, this longing, this need for whatever it is, power, possession of something, is at the heart of what Jesus is talking about today. But it's not the full story. You see, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people, as he usually is, and someone in the crowd, I think it's really interesting that it says someone in the crowd, we're not given a male or a female, but someone in the crowd says, Lord, I need you to take care of this dispute I'm having. I need you to tell my brother to give me half his lands. It's interesting that we don't know if it's a man or a woman, because if it's a man, the inheritance laws were such that the elder brother got a double portion. So let's say there were two brothers in the family. What would happen is all of the property, the inheritance, would be divided in three. And the eldest would get two, and the youngest would get one. If it were a female, and she is crying out, divide the property, it would be because the eldest would get the whole thing and she would get nothing. But no matter what, there is this sense of injustice, inequity, coming from this someone in the crowd. And they are calling out to Jesus, fix it, Jesus. You ever feel that way? I feel that way. Fix it, Jesus. And Jesus says, that's not what I'm here to do. It is not my job to fix the inequities in the world. Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it? He says, who am I? Am I the judge or the arbiter? No. No, instead, I want you to be on guard against all kinds of greed. I find that really interesting, too. I highlighted that in my Bible. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. It's not just about wanting your inheritance to be equal. It's all kinds of greed. And I wonder, what is it that you want? Where is it that you are greedy in life? Is it that you want more money, more possessions, more stuff? Certainly that's one kind of greed. But there are other kinds of greed, aren't there? It could be another way of saying, what are you addicted to? Do you love food? Is that where you're greedy? Do you try to get all the attention? Is that where you're greedy? Is it that you want more stuff? Is that where you're greedy? What is it that distracts you from what's really important? You see, I think that is the foundation of this passage. It's not just possessions. It's not just money. It's what distracts you from God. This, I think, harkens back to the passage a couple of chapters ago between Mary and Martha. Are you familiar with that story? The story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus there. Jesus is visiting them at that household, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. He is extolling, telling stories, teaching, preaching, and Martha is waiting on all of them. And after a while, she why am I doing all the work? And she's sitting there at his feet. And she does exactly what this someone in the crowd does, doesn't she? She goes up and says, Jesus, this is not fair. Tell her she has to come help me. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part. Mary has chosen the better part. Another translation says, Mary is not being distracted from what is important. And I think how often are we distracted by what is important because of the stuff that we want? We can't help it. We're human. We want stuff. It's the way we are made. And if possible, if we could have more stuff than the person next to us, that would be really good, wouldn't it? We are focused on the wrong thing. We are distracted. Ariana Grande, in her Thank You Next album, which recently came out, has a song called The Seven Rings. Now, Seven Rings is about a really bad day that she was having. She had been through a bad breakup. And she transformed that day by going out with six of her best girlfriends to Tiffany's and spending money on seven rings, one for her and one for her girlfriends. And they had such a good time, it felt like such a healing day, that she wrote a song about it. The song starts with a tune you may recognize, you older folk, from The Sound of Music, from My Favorite Things, and then moves in to a rap piece. At one point in the midst of the song, she sings, I think retail therapy is my new addiction. Whoever said money can't solve your problems must not have had enough money to solve them. They say which one, I say nah, I want all of them. Happiness is the same price as red bottoms. And it goes on, red bottoms, in case you don't know, are the Christian Louboutin shoes with the red bottoms that are outrageously expensive. She goes on later to introduce a refrain, which I am sure everyone in this room has at one point or another heard, that basically goes, I want it, I got it. I want it, I got it. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it. And it may be a lot of fun to sing. As a matter of fact, it probably is a lot of fun to sing, isn't it? Can I ask my scholars, is this a fun song to sing? Yes, this is a fun song to sing. But I think that it is the opposite of what's going on in the gospel message today, right? Jesus is saying, don't get distracted by stuff. Stuff is fun. Singing about stuff is fun, but that is not what I want you to pay attention to. And Jesus proceeds to tell a parable about a rich guy who has got a bunch of stuff. He has got so much stuff that he does not have a big enough place to put all his stuff. So rather than share his stuff, he decides he will tear down the stuff that he has to put down, put his stuff in, and build bigger stuff to put more stuff in. You see the irony of this? And at this point, the man says, you know, once I have built bigger stuff to put my stuff in, then I can relax. Then I can eat, drink, and be merry because all my stuff will be safe. And God comes along and says, you know what? You blew it because today's the day you're going to die, so you don't get to enjoy any of it. That is the parable that Jesus tells, which seems to say that maybe focusing on having more stuff and bigger places to put your stuff is not the stuff we should be focusing on. As a matter of fact, in the very end of this passage, he says that if you're focused on your stuff and not being rich toward God, there's a problem. Now, I got to tell you, for centuries, this little passage has been used in stewardship sermons. It has been used to say, you need to be rich toward God, people, which means I want to see a lot of money in that offering plate. I would like to see a lot of money in that offering plate. And if you want to put a lot of money in that offering plate, feel free. But I don't, truth be told, think that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. In reality, the words here are ein theos pluton, and it actually means into God being rich. So it's not being rich toward God, it's into God, be rich in to God. Now, how do you be rich in God? How do you be rich in God? I want you to think about that. How do you be rich in God? And it seems to me that it is more about not being distracted by all that other stuff, by not letting yourself want the one ring or the seven rings or the whatever it is out there that you think you desire, you want, not being distracted by stuff, whether it be stuff of power, stuff of addiction, stuff of possessions. But instead, it's about being centered in the one who loves us, in the one who calls us, who claims us, who forgives us, who offers us grace. So that when we mess up and we focus on stuff, God is saying, no. Don't you see? I love you. I forgive you. And I long for you to share that with everybody you meet. That is the point. And that is why the Lord is the Lord of the one ring, the seven rings, and each and every one of us in this room. Amen.